The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel.
Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and we're going to continue our journey with Jesus. How many of you are ready to continue the journey with Jesus today? Amen? And so get your Bible ready, get your notes if you use notes, and let's turn to Luke chapter 10, a great truth for us today that I hope will be a real blessing. Let's stand together as we prepare for the reading of the Word of God. And in reverence to the Word of God, Luke 10, we're going to read just five verses, verses 38 through 42. But in these five verses is a life-changing principle that I hope you'll receive this morning and that will help change the way you approach the priorities of your life. And so follow with me Luke 10, verse 38 and through 42. And today I've entitled the message, Sitting at Jesus' Feet, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I want you to say that little phrase with me, but one thing is needful. Would you say it? But one thing is needful. Let's learn what that one thing is today. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for Luke's gospel and for the study that we've enjoyed on Sunday mornings and for the way we're learning more of your life. Help us to apply this truth today. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We have before us this morning one of the most tremendous lessons in the Bible about priorities that you will ever learn in your life. We know that Fortune 500 companies send their managers to classes to teach them how to prioritize their work, how to prioritize their life, how to manage their time in a better way. We know that marriage counselors will sit down with couples and try to help by putting priorities back in place. They try to help a couple to restore their marriage. This past year, we introduced a planner that many of our men are using and many of the ladies in the church as well. It's a stewarding life planner, and one of the exercises with that planner involves every day looking at your priorities or your roles, your God-given roles, and calendarizing your time around your God-given roles and priorities. And this morning, we're going to learn of the importance of having the right priority in life. How many of you have learned that in life, there is good, better, and best? And it's easy to spend a lot of time doing even good stuff to the neglect of the best thing. And this morning, we want to learn what that one needful thing really is. Now, perhaps you've noticed in studying Luke's gospel on our journey with Jesus that throughout the life and ministry of Jesus, there were women in the life and ministry of Jesus who were helpful in sustaining Jesus and the disciples from a support basis. They were encouraging to him, and they were some of the most ardent disciples of the early church. Look back at Luke chapter 8, if you would, for just a moment, just to give you an illustration of what I just said. In verse number 3, for the sake of time, we read these words. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Here we learn that the Lord Jesus Christ had godly women. Here we learn of Susanna, and we learn of Joanna and others who traveled with the Lord Jesus, perhaps prepared meals, as we'll see this morning. But of their substance, they were willing to help. Now, it was common if you followed a rabbi, one who taught the law, that you would help in that way. But these ladies knew that this was not just another rabbi. This was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And they followed him, and of their substance, they gave to the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord this morning for godly ladies who serve the Lord Jesus Christ and who of their substance, their time, their talent, and their treasure further the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last year in this particular church, there were single ladies who gave more than professional men. There were ladies in this church who are single moms who gave more than working men with high-paying jobs. Why? Because of the heart that God has placed within them. And I thank the Lord this morning for godly ladies at Lancaster Baptist Church who give of their substance, who give of their time, who are teaching Sunday school, who sang songs for us this morning. I thank the Lord for godly women in this auditorium who have a heart for God. Lancaster Baptist Church is known as being a man's church, a lot of men serving, a lot of men involved in ministry. And I thank the Lord for that as well. But today we're going to learn about some women who really show us lessons about the Christian life. And we're going to visit in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. We read about this home in John chapter 11. And we're going to see that in this home there are some lessons for us as men and women today. And when we come to this particular passage, the first thing that we notice is a contrast. Right away, we see a contrast between two women. One's name is Martha and one whose name is Mary. And we see the setting before us this morning. We see that the Lord Jesus is traveling to Bethany, the home of Mary and Martha. Bethany is located just near Jerusalem. We said a few days ago in church that now Jesus is in the last few months of his life in ministry. He will be coming back to Jerusalem where he will die on the cross for the sins of the entire world. And as the Lord Jesus is journeying, he comes today to Bethany. And here in Bethany, we meet Martha and Mary. And I want you to notice, first of all, as we look at this woman named Martha, we see a distracted servant. Martha is obviously a distracted woman. The Bible says in verse 38, "And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." Now, we do want to note that Martha had some great characteristics. We see that Martha was gracious. She received Jesus into the house. That indicates that she was perhaps the owner of the house. It indicates that she was a gracious woman inviting Jesus to come into the house. 3.5 months later, we read in John chapter 12 these words, "And Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served." And so we learn that Martha was a gracious woman. She was a serving woman. But we also see that Martha was distraught. She was one of these who very busy in what she did, but she was also distraught as she did it. She was frenzy-like in her service. Notice in verse 40, we read these words, "But Martha was cumbered about with much serving." The word cumbered means to be overoccupied. It was a burden to her, and it had ceased being a blessing to her. She did more and more and more. She was often busy doing things to the point that it had just become a real burden to him. She had become preoccupied with all that she had to get done to the point she had lost the joy in doing what she did. Perhaps you've been there before. And it's easy sometimes to get so preoccupied with stuff, with a to-do list, with work jobs, with hobbies, with taking children to games and caring for little children, so busy doing all of the things that we do that we can forget some of the main, most important things we're really supposed to do. I read this week about a lady in Greece who was on the back seat of a bus. She was there with her little crying baby. She had her sacks of groceries. She was on the cell phone talking to somebody, and she was talking a mile a minute, very involved in the phone call. How many of you have ever been somewhere and someone has an earpiece in their ear or they have the phone and they're talking like they're the only person in the room? You ever been around somebody like that? And you want to say, "Excuse me, sir, but I really don't care to hear all of this." And that's how this woman was. She was talking and talking and talking. Her bus came to the bus stop. She grabbed up her stuff. She got off the bus. 4 or 5 minutes later, she realized she was so involved in that phone call, she got everything off the bus except her baby. She got a taxi cab. They frantically looked for the bus. 30 minutes later, they got to the terminal where the bus had pulled in. She ran on the bus. She went to the back. There was her baby 30 minutes later, still crying on the back seat. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you can get so involved in all the stresses of life that you can forget the main purpose of life. And Martha was at that place. Martha, we see as a woman, was very gracious, but she had become very distraught with all of the serving. The Bible says she was cumbered about with much serving. Now, Martha is like many Christians who realize we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. We're saved by His grace. But Martha is one of these people that had a tendency to try somehow to please and somehow to gain acceptance from Jesus Christ through what she did. No doubt she was concerned about the menu and about filling the glasses and about making Jesus feel welcome. And no doubt Martha wanted some accolades, some attaboys for that. Martha wanted to be noticed for what she did. And I want to tell you that one of the traps of the Christian life is doing a bunch of stuff, even in the Lord's work, trying to somehow please the Lord or earn merit with the Lord or find favor with the Lord. Let me tell you a little secret about the Christian life this morning. God will not love you any more than He loves you right now today. You are saved by grace. You don't have to try to work your way into favor with God. The fact of the matter is that your worth is based on your birth. And if you've been born again, you're already a part of the family. You don't have to work to get in the family. But Martha was still trying to find favor and acceptance. She did not understand perhaps one of the great verses of the Bible, Ephesians 1 and verse 6, which says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." And I want you to know this morning, if you are a Christian, you are accepted in the Beloved. You may not feel like you match someone else. You may not feel like you do as much as someone else, but the Lord loves you today. Tozer once said, "We have become so engrossed in the work of the Lord that we have forgotten the Lord of the work." Now, I don't meet too many Christians that are so busy serving the Lord that they've forgotten the Lord. I meet a lot of Christians who have lots of time for the internet and lots of time for hobbies and lots of time for this and for that. Most Christians today are not running the bus routes too much or going soul winning too much. But I have seen some who have been so busy in ministry that they forget the main part of ministry is to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. So whether it is ministry or whether it's your overtime that you have to have or whether it's the bridge club that's so important or whatever it is, your entertainment or culinary arts, I got to tell you something this morning. Be careful of anything that distracts you from sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Martha was just a distracted person. So we see a distracted servant. But notice, secondly, we see a devoted student. Now notice the contrast as we look at verse 39. "And she had a sister." Now let me just stop right there. How many of you are parents of more than one child? Would you raise your hand? Let me see, all right? All over the auditorium. Okay. Have you ever wondered how two or three or four kids can be born into the same family, the same parents, the same food, the same house, the same school, and be totally different? It's always been amusing to me that you'll have one child that's kind of docile and you've got to pinch them to make sure they're alive. And you got another kid that's so hyperactive, you've got to put a leash on him to take him to Disneyland. And they're in the same family. And here we see Martha is all over the place and Martha's cumbered about and doing all this stuff. But let's look at her sister Mary in verse 39. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. So here we see Mary is a devoted student focused on Jesus. She is sitting at Jesus' feet. That tells us she is sitting near Jesus. Her worship of Jesus brought her as close as possible in place and posture to Jesus. Mary understood, look, we're always going to have the dishes to do, but we may not always have Jesus in the house. And Mary understood the importance of, while He was there talking, we don't have to worry about how much egg salad is left or how much fruit salad is left or whether the iced tea needs to be refilled. When Jesus is talking, she says, what I need to be doing is sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing what Jesus has to say. There's something to be said about our place and our posture in worship. There's something to be said about making in your life a priority of getting at the feet of Jesus. There's something to be said about having daily time where you open the Bible and you read it and you say, Lord, speak to me. There's something to be said about coming to church and saying, I love the music, I love the announcements, I like it all, but what I really need, I need to hear what Jesus wants me to hear today. Sometimes I tell parents of teenagers, look, grab your kids off the back row and bring them up to the front. Sometimes it's good just to switch around. Now, it's hard on pastors because we take attendance by where you sit. But if you ever get to a place where you feel like you're not listening as well as you should, or there's a distraction of some kind or whatever, I'm telling you, get to a place. Get your place like Mary did. She said, I've got to be right here at the feet of Jesus. I want to hear what Jesus has to say. I want him to tell me what I need to know. Mary was a devoted student of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was focused on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a principle in the New Testament, and you'll find it many times, and the principle is that we must worship first and then serve from the outflow of that worship. For example, Jesus, when he was calling his disciples, Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Always you're going to find following or worshiping Jesus first. You read in Matthew 28, 19, and 20, the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. But you'll find just two verses prior that the disciples fell down and worshiped Jesus first. You see, if we're going to be effective long-term servants of Jesus, we have to learn how to sit at his feet. And just as we must put fuel in the car, and just as we must maintain the airplane, the fact of the matter is you can't drive forever. You can't fly forever without maintenance, without fueling, without filling up. So it is for the Christian. You can't serve forever without sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Mary was a contrast to Martha. Mary had learned how to sit at the feet, how to listen. Notice what it says there in verse number 39. It says, Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Here was a woman that was truly ingesting his teaching. She was feasting on the word of God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Listen, we've got to let the word of God dwell in us this morning. We've got to do whatever it takes. You need to take notes, fine. You say, I don't do well taking notes, then just listen. You've got to pinch yourself to stay awake. You've got to sit on the front row. Whatever it takes today, we've got to hear from Jesus. I'm telling you, you've got the internet, you've got television, you've got bad news, you've got good news, you've got a mean boss, you've got a nice boss, you've got Little League, you've got bowling, you've got all these things. But when you get to the place where the word of God is open, my friend, then you must say, I've got to hear what God wants me to hear today. We got 30, 40 minutes of it this morning. We've got maybe 30, 40 minutes tonight, but I'm telling you, when you're at the house of God and the Word of God, this inspired, infallible book is open, I'm telling you, we've got to hear what this book says. Say, oh, I've enjoyed the Olympics and I like watching basketball and all the rest of it. Don't do it at the expense of your Sunday night church. Don't do it at the expense of your midweek service. Don't do it at the expense of your personal devotion. I'm saying one thing is needful, and Mary figured out that one needful thing. And the one needful thing is that we must hear what the Lord has to say. Yes. Martha was too busy and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Look in your notes at 1 Peter 2. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Notice this verse. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. God says, when my word is open, I want you to be like a little baby that just can't get enough of it. The other day, our daughter-in-law, Katie, called, and our son, Matt, and Katie, they live a few hours away, And she says to my wife, she says, now it's time to start giving Olivia, she's our little granddaughter, she's about 4 months, maybe 5 months, says, it's time to start giving her some food, and if we could meet somewhere halfway, then you could be there when we give her food. And you know, I thought to myself, drive down there to see him give her food? What in the world? My wife kind of a little tear in her eyes, she said, yeah, they're going to give her food, we got to go see them give her. Oh, yes ma'am, I didn't realize that. It's one of those big events. Man, I'm telling you what, we drove down a little ways, maybe an hour or so away, and we met up with them. We had dinner, and they said, all right, here's the time. We're going to give her some food now. And they got out that, you remember that nasty stuff your parents used to give you? Whirled up peas and whirled up stuff and all whirled up. And And they put that food, and I'm telling you, at her, they put that to her tongue, and she made a face like, "You are the dumbest parents God ever created. Why are you putting that to my face?" And I thought to myself, we drove down to see that. But you know, after that first taste, she kind of looked around a little more, just licking on her lips a little bit, and she kind of put her hands out, and she got another taste of it. And by the third taste, she was grabbing the spoon, pulling it to her mouth, rubbing it all over her face, putting it in her mouth. She could not get enough of that. She was as a newborn babe, desiring that food. And I'm telling you, we've got to have that spirit towards the Word of God. Listen, the fact of the matter is that we ought to sit up and be ready and be prepared to hear the Word of God and recognize that we must be somebody with God before we do some things for God. And there ought to be that spirit that says, "Lord, I want to hear what you have to say." You know, as preachers, we kind of do our best to observe people, and body language says a lot. You know, sometimes you'll have people, they'll come into church, and especially in these new chairs, some of you kind of get down like this, like, "All right, I got to be here, but at least I'll enjoy and I'll be comfortable for." And then some people come and sit like this. I see some guys sit like, "That means my wife made me come." Some people sit like this. That means they're guarding their wallet, like, "Ain't getting it from me." We just watch you folks and kind of see, you know, and you can tell a lot. You know what? You can tell when somebody likes preaching too. They're listening. They're writing something down. They're nodding with you. They want to get what God's word has to say. And that's what Mary was doing. She said, "I got to get close to Jesus today. I don't know everything, but I know I need help. I need what Jesus has to say." And so we see a comparison. But notice, secondly, we hear a complaint. Now notice what Martha says in verse 40. "But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?'" Now Martha is going to register a complaint. And I want you to know that when you complain more than you should, it might be an indication that you are not at Jesus' feet as much as you should be. Let me give you a little verse. Some of you have memorized it. It's in your notes. You ought to highlight it in your Bible. Look at the verse, Psalm 119, 165. Notice what it says. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." All right, let's say it together. Ready, begin. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Sometimes I'll meet some Christian, they'll say, "I need to talk to you. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind." I always have the same thought. You better keep it. I'm not sure you have many pieces to spare, but there's no peace. No peace. But the Bible says, "Great peace have they which love thy law." Now Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. She had the peace of God. Martha was so busy getting that casserole ready, she'd kind of forgotten devotions. Martha was so concerned about how she appeared that she was losing peace because she was trying so hard to please people. And I want you to see that this Martha makes an improper accusation against Jesus. Martha says something that blows my mind, and sometimes when we are under stress, we say similar things. Notice what Martha says to Jesus in verse 40. "Dost thou not care?" Do you see that? "Dost thou not care?" Now, my friend, if there's anything you want to ask God, it's not, "God, don't you care about me?" How much does God care about you? He cares so much for you that he sent his only begotten son to shed his blood and die on a cross for the covering of your sins. Psalm 103 and verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." My friend, I got to tell you this morning, he cares for you. But when you're cumbered about and you're burdened and you're trying to please everybody and your deadlines aren't meeting, suddenly you think nobody cares, nobody notices, nobody said how good your casserole was. And you wonder if God even cares about you. There was a man years ago named Charles Weigel. Charles Weigel was a wonderful preacher and a singer. He would go preach evangelistic meetings in the southeastern United States. And Charles Weigel came home from a meeting one week. He'd been preaching all week long. His wife had been losing her joy some, and when he got home, she had written a note to him that said, "I cannot be the wife of an evangelist. I'm not going to travel with you. I don't like doing this anymore. I'm moving back with my mother." The preacher was devastated. He began to seek some counsel, but it just didn't seem like it would work. And he got so despondent, he got so discouraged that at one point of all things, he even thought of ending his own life. Charles Weigel one day was referred to Dr. Lee Robertson, and Dr. Robertson at the Highland Park Baptist Church began to counsel with him and talk to him about how God loved him and God was not finished with him and God had a plan for him. And God began to put the song back in Weigel's heart. They had a little apartment there at Tennessee Temple University where Mr. Weigel could live. And one night, as Weigel began to focus on the Word of God and some of the truths that he had learned, he began writing a song, and he wrote the song, "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus." The song says, "I would love to tell you the story of what Jesus has done for me. I'd love to tell you how much Jesus has done for me." You might be in a place right now where you're lonely, you're all alone, you're wondering if anybody cares. It seems like your family doesn't care, your friends don't care, and sometimes you might wonder if God even cares. And I'm here to tell you this morning, no one ever cared for you like Jesus does. He cares for you this morning. She made an improper accusation, and then she makes an inappropriate demand. Now listen to what she says to the Lord. She says in verse 40, "Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." He says, "Lord, I want you to bid her." That means to command. "I want you to tell her to help me. I want you to tell her right now that she is supposed to help me." Of course, Jesus does not do that. And you'll find in the life of Jesus that he is all wisdom. He is all knowing. And oftentimes when people would tell him what to do, he would use that as a teaching moment. One time there was a woman caught in adultery in the very act. The Pharisees brought the woman to Jesus and they threw her on the ground in front of Jesus and they said, "This woman was caught in the very act of adultery. What would you do?" Jesus leaned over and he began to write in the sand. And most Bible scholars say that he wrote the Ten Commandments as if to say to those men, "You are as guilty as she is. The one of you that is without guilt, let him cast the first stone." Jesus simply responds by showing us what we need to learn. We see a comparison, Martha and Mary, two different sisters. We hear one sister who didn't have time to sit at Jesus' feet complaining and griping and filled with anxiety in her life. But notice finally, if you would, a commendation. Jesus is going to commend one of these sisters. Now, before he does the commendation of Mary, notice how he corrects Martha. Jesus corrects Martha. Verse 41, please, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Now, I don't know how it was when you were growing up. When one of my parents said my name twice, I took note. If my mom said, "Paul, come here," I would come, sometimes at my leisure, I'm sad to say. If my mother or father said, "Paul, Paul," I quickened my pace to get in there. And if they ever said, "Paul William," I patted my backside before I went into the room. You learn how to respond differently to different invitations. When Jesus says, "Martha, Martha," he wants her attention. He is giving emphasis to her because he's about to identify her problem. And her problem is a problem that I have had, and it's a problem that some of you have, and it's a problem that all of us can have. Notice what his diagnosis of her problem is. "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Now, let's take that word "careful" and just work with it a little bit. If you take the word "careful" and put the word "full" in front of the word "care," what do you get? "Martha, Martha, you are full of care." The word "careful" means to be anxious. "Martha, Martha, you are full of care. You are anxious. You are worrying." And may I say that what began with a lack of faith, what began with a lack of priority, has now become a time of worry And may I tell you that worry is one step away from anxiety. May I remind you that in this life, when we find ourselves not sitting at Jesus' feet, we become candidates to worry more about the things of this world. And the Bible is clear in Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God says, I don't want you to be careful. I don't want you to be troubled about so many things. He says to Martha, you are troubled, verse 41, about many things. Here was a woman who was filled with fear and worry. And she was worried about whether she was being accepted. She was worrying about whether she was being appreciated. She was spending all this time wondering what other people thought about her, not realizing the most important thing for life is to sit at the feet of Jesus and to bask in his acceptance and to glory in his word and to grow from his revelation. And here we see that this woman, Martha, was missing the one needful thing. And some of you have your job and you have your overtime and you have your craft and you have your to-do list, and you have your worries and your children and your health and all of these things, and they're all important, but one thing is most important on your priority list, and that one thing is being with Jesus. Sometimes a pastor will prepare a message, perhaps for a family emphasis, perhaps in some area, and preach the message, and someone who just had to have that extra time at work, or had to do that extra thing, or had to have that extra hobby, or scheduled games on Sunday, and they're doing all these other less needful things, and one day the breakdown comes, and one day the crisis comes, and a pastor thinks, well, if they could have just been hearing, it might have prevented. And the fact of the matter was that what Mary was doing was the most needful thing, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Jesus corrects Martha, but notice secondly, Jesus commends Mary. Now here's the lesson, and don't miss it. If you haven't been getting anything, don't miss this. Verse 41, 42 rather. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now would you read this verse with me, please, and then we'll finish the message. Ready, begin. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. One thing is needful. That means of necessity. Now, my friend, do not tell me that the Bible is irrelevant. Jesus is saying, you're full of anxiety, you're full of worry. America takes more pills today than we ever have in the history of this country. There's more alcoholism than there ever has been. There is more psychiatry. Listen, my friend, if there's ever been an era of worry and anxiety, we are living in it today. And Jesus says, I've got to tell you, there's one thing that's needful. And Mary has found what it is. Mary has learned to make the better choice. Now, notice, if you will, that Mary, the Bible tells us, is commended. Mary hath chosen that good part. Now, this term, good part, is speaking figuratively of the spiritual meal that she was enjoying. Martha had the physical down pat. You talk about the Cooking Channel. Martha would have been twirling knives on the Cooking Channel. And all the folks on the Cooking Channel would have had to have taken a back seat because Martha had it down pat. But Martha missed the one thing that was most important, the good part, the good meal. You might be that type that is a type A. You might think constantly, rapidly, polyphasically. You might be able to multitask. You might be able to get so many things done. You might be climbing some ladder and doing really well. And I'm glad that you are. And God uses Marthas, and thank God that he does. But listen, my friend, there's a lesson for all of us this morning. If you're getting all that stuff done, but you're not sitting at the feet of Jesus, you're missing the one needful priority of life. And that is to know God. And that is to know the love of God. And to understand the word of God. That is what you and I need more than anything else. And you watch the man or woman that gets everything else and doesn't get God, soon everything else falls apart. Marriage, job, finances, one thing after the next. That's why Jesus said she has chosen the good part, notice this, which shall not be taken away. Now, you know, all of us love the blessings of this life. And you might go out for a nice dinner. You might sit there, man, what a salad, what a soup. Oh, those hors d'oeuvres were great. That was the best dinner. It lasts about as long until you get in your car to go home. That's it. Martha's world is a temporal world. Well, what about the car? It lasts about as long as until the first dent in the car. All these things that we could mention in Martha's world. What about the acceptance of men? Have you noticed the same man or woman that was nice to you sometime later is not nice anymore? It's all temporal. So look what Jesus says about Mary in this final verse. He says, she hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. When you sit at Jesus' feet and you learn of Him and you learn principles from Him and you grow in His grace, you are learning and gleaning things that will last forever, that will make an impact on eternity, and that no one can take away from you. It becomes a part of you. And so I want to ask you a few questions this morning. First, is there anybody in this room that has lost their joy in serving? Is there anybody here this morning that, like Martha, boy, they need someone to rally at the Red Cross? I'm there. They need someone to be a part of standing up for right? I'm there. Someone that'll be a soul winner? I'm there. Boy, you've been a part of this, you've been a part of that, you've been a part of all these things, but now suddenly, the joy is gone. Is there someone here this morning that you're still at church, but you've lost your joy? You sometimes even wonder if God cares. You wonder if anyone cares. Is there someone here that's lost that? I wonder, is there someone here this morning who then would say, I must improve my worship of Christ. I've got to get closer sitting at His feet. More than I need aerobics, I need discipleship. More than I need overtime, I need preaching. Is there someone here that realizes the loss of joy? Listen, the joy was not attained by the achievements you thought the joy would come from them. You're realizing now you've got to get back in worship of Christ and sitting at Jesus' feet. Is there someone today that needs to rearrange some priorities? Is there something you need to strike from what you do? Is there some internet activity? Is there some friendship? Is there some hobby? Is there something that you would just say, enough of that. It's good, but it's not best. And for the rest of my life, I'm giving my life to the best. Jesus is the best. Amen. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then let me ask you this question finally. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you finally admitted, I'm a sinner? And you turned to Jesus and you said, Lord, I'm a sinner. You're the perfect Savior. You shed your blood for me. Lord, I want to receive you into my heart as my Savior. Call it what you want to call it, saved, born again. But I'm going to tell you what, when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, old things pass away. All things become new. Sitting at Jesus' feet is desirable. Learning these funny-sounding songs is desirable. Learning the Bible is desirable. There's a new life that's given to you when you receive Jesus Christ. If you've never made that decision, I want to encourage you to make that decision today. Let us pray.